The Toronto Blue Jays finally got one. Yes, welcome on into First Pitch, your daily MLB recap. I'm your host, Christian Rao. You can find me on Twitter at @FirstPitch_MLB. Joined with me this week, always, Troy Brock. Find him on Twitter at @TroyBBaseball. And Troy, we got to get into it. We finally get to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays as a winner, not second place, not the runners up. It is finally time the Toronto Blue Jays got a free agent. Well, was it an overpay? That's an entirely different question. We'll definitely get into that here on this show, but let's dig into it. Anthony Santander agrees to a 5-year contract from this season, 2025 through 2029. Former Baltimore Oriole, which I had the pleasure to watch so many times when he's with the Norfolk Tides and with Baltimore when I used to live in the Virginia Beach area, is now going to be going north of the border to go with the Toronto Blue Jays. Finally, they get a player, one of the top free agents, probably the best remaining, if you will. This is an interesting move, Troy, because is it something that is you should be excited about if you're Toronto because you got a guy like Santander, or is it more of a breath of relief that you finally got something out of this free agent market, something that you've been behind in every single time so far this year?
I think a little bit of both. I think it's definitely exciting to add Santander to that lineup because it makes their offense better. There's no question about that. It makes their offense better. And then also at the same time, like you said already, and like Lindsay and I talked about on yesterday's podcast, the Blue Jays finally got one. They're finally the team that's getting the rose or not getting the rose, whatever happens on The Bachelor. And they're finally the team that's getting to be the bride and not the bridesmaid. And they, like you said, also they may have overpaid in order to not be the bridesmaid and to be promoted to the bride, but it does make their offense better. And I guess Santander is unlike me, okay with dealing with a bunch of snow. So, cause he's going to be getting a lot of that for the next 5 years.
Yeah. You're down in the South right now, crazy snow happening this morning and throughout the day. So you have plenty to be excited about in a way. You got a little one though. You're going to take them out in the snow, right? You're going to do something fun.
Oh yeah. And my wife's work closed for the snow. She sells cars and they closed for the snow for the next 2 days. So it's going to be a party at the Brock household down here in Alabama.
Insane. Yeah. I love that extra hot chocolate. Hey, when it comes to Anthony Santander, he basically had a career year last year. In the eyes of WAR, it was the second best season just by a tenth. In 2023, he had a 3.0 WAR. Last year, 2.9. And that's more on the defensive side of why it wasn't as great. But on the offensive side, he had his best career year by far. 44 home runs, 102 RBIs, 25 of them were doubles. That was lower, almost double than 2023. That was really the only thing he didn't excel at compared to years past. But, I mean, he had an .814 OPS, OPS plus of 134. And this was with a team of Baltimore who was striving to get to the postseason. And for the second year in a row, they did. Now, obviously, they didn't make any noise in the postseason. But when you're talking about Anthony Santander, when you're trying to get a guy, and we talk about Toronto, who it seems like, Troy, for the last few seasons, and I am guilty of this, by the way, too. I don't know if you are, but I am. But the last few seasons, maybe not this year, but 2022, 2023 especially, I had Toronto towards the top of my World Series favorites. I thought they were juggernauts. I thought they were teams that really could make an impact in the AL East and potentially win it all. And they just never lived up to that hype, never lived up to that expectation. And with the way that they had this pitching staff, obviously Vlad Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, all those names, it just really didn't live up to that. But you're bringing in a guy that just hit 44 home runs last year, a guy that really, even if he does have a down year, you could probably expect at least 30, 35 home runs since he's going to be in the same division. Where does that put you in the eyes of where the Blue Jays sit in this division right now? With still a great pitching staff, you still have Vlad Guerrero Jr. right now. Bo Bichette going into contract year could be a prove it kind of style, or it could be maybe a dud of a year. We don't know what we're going to get out of a guy like Bo Bichette moving in. And then you have a veteran player like George Springer, who is on the decline of his years, but we've seen really good play from him. He's won World Series championships in the past. Where are you seeing Toronto right now?
I still think it's going to be tough for Toronto Blue Jays, even with Anthony Santander, to get past the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Yankees for first and second in the American League East. I can certainly see them being ahead of the Red Sox still, and the Red Sox now finishing in fourth with the addition of Anthony Santander, especially if Bo Bichette does play like everybody has expected him to throughout his career and not how he has over the past couple of years, and if he stays healthy, plus Vladimir Guerrero Jr. potentially in a contract year if they don't come to an agreement on an extension. But they've got to do something about that pitching. It's the starting rotation's very inconsistent, especially with Alek Manoah. He has not been anywhere near as good as he was in the early stages of his career at the major league level. They have Jose Berrios as their ace, and honestly, he's kind of ill fit for an ace role on a contending team. He's good. There's no doubt about that, that he's good. It's just, I'm not sure he's necessarily a quote unquote ace. But their offense has improved, and they're definitely going to score a lot of runs if Bo Bichette can do what he's expected to do, plus having Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Anthony Santander. Now, I don't expect Santander to hit 40 or more home runs again like he did in 2024. I think that was a little bit of a kind of selling out in a contract year, but it's nice to have that switch hitter in your lineup that does have power and can hit 30 home runs. Once he started getting everyday playing time in 2022 with the Orioles, was the first year that he really got everyday playing time. It's when his offense really came alive, and he's carried that through the last three seasons. And it's a good addition for the Blue Jays. I like it for sure. But yeah, I still don't think they're going to finish any higher than third in the division.
Interesting. I wonder if that'll be enough for a wild card spot. That's probably where you'd have to you bank and you play for, because you had what, Baltimore and New York close to 100 wins last season. I know no one got there, but you had, you know, obviously that sake. You know, Baltimore really hasn't done much. That's something to keep in mind. But and we'll get to that in just a second. But, you know, even if you get 30 home runs from a guy like Santander, I think that's a win. I think the biggest issue will be his lack of defense. That's something that obviously you'll take an impact. But if you can get some defensive replacements, maybe some decent on the bench, I think that might help moving forward in late innings of the game. I'm going to push back a little bit on your thoughts about the pitching rotation, because I think it's a little better than what you're saying, at least in my opinion. And I know the Alek Manoah situation, yes, all that stuff, but I don't even put him in consideration right now, because I think he's going to have to build himself up and improve himself. But Jose Berrios, obviously, I think I agree with you on that standpoint. I don't really consider him an ace. I think Kevin Gausman's the ace of this squad, and I think he has still looked really good overall. I really like the youth of Bowden Francis. You want to consider it youth. I know he's like entering his age 29 season, but I like what I've seen from him. And Chris Bassitt has the opportunity to do really good things as well. Yariel Rodriguez signed that international deal just last year, which was, I think, a really underrated deal last year. No one's really paying attention to it, and I think that's going to help them out, round up the rotation. So I'm a little more on the higher side with that. I still don't consider it one of the best rotations in the American League East, because there's still a lot of really good ones out there right now, and it might be still considered the third, even maybe even fourth best rotation, but I'm still high on it. I think the biggest issue for this team right now is trying to find more bullpen help, if you will. They struggled so bad last year when it came to the bullpen. And you went and got Jeff Hoffman. That was a good one, right? And I know, hey, you're a Phillies fan. You saw Jeff Hoffman for many years. Now, he didn't have a great end to his postseason run with Philly, but he had some really good times with that team. I think he'll be a great addition, but I still don't think that's going to be enough for this team. And you lost guys like Jordan Romano. And as at the moment right now, you're talking Chad Green and Yimi Garcia being your ones that are setting up Jeff Hoffman. I think he could do a little better than that. Maybe move those guys into some more lower leverage roles, especially because the age of Garcia and Green are getting up there. Both of them are going to what, their 34 or 35 age season. Isn't a huge thing for relievers, but something to keep in mind. I think if they added one more bullpen piece, I'd feel a lot better about this pitching staff as a whole. What do you think about this bullpen? Are you with me on that? I know you have a lot of, I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts about Jeff Hoffman.
Oh, Jeff Hoffman's fantastic. He really turned his career around when he came to Philadelphia, and he's going to be a great addition to the Blue Jays bullpen. But I do agree with you that really outside of Jeff Hoffman, their bullpen, there's not much to speak of. And honestly, after Tanner Scott signing with the Dodgers, there's not all that much left in free agency for them to do. So if they want to get anything done, they may have to go after a trade to shore up that bullpen. And I do think that they are still capable of getting a wild card berth, to touch on that from earlier, just because of the draft, the massive step back that the teams and the American League West have taken this offseason, with the Astros. They're not going to be anywhere close to as dominant as they have been in the past decade. And really, it's the Texas Rangers and everybody else right now. And so I think that the American League East is going to pull a National League East and take two of the three wild card spots from the rest of the conference.
Yeah, honestly, that's not a surprise. If you were telling me that you're heading into a year and you said that two of the three from both the American League and the National League West of the wild cards are going to go to those teams, I wouldn't bat an eye over that. And I feel like that's almost, you can make that assumption every year, and I feel like you'd be safe. I feel like the odds would be in your favor. I feel like it would just be like a safe pick. So I don't disagree with that. It's just, the biggest question is, can Toronto get to that third spot? And what is that third spot? It's probably got to get to 87, 88 wins is probably where you need to be. Maybe 80, probably 86 is probably the lowest, I'm guessing, for the final wildcard spot in the American League. That's just my thought. I think that's what Detroit finished with, if I remember correctly, yep, this past season. In the eyes of relief pitching, according to MLB.com right now, I'm pretty sure this is as updated as it possibly can be right now. When you look at the best relief pitchers left on the market, this isn't helping when it comes to me saying that Garcia and Chad Green are the old guys on the block, because according to WAR, the best players remaining out of relief pitching is David Robertson. He's 40 years old, but he finished with a 3.1 WAR last season. Then you have Kenley Jansen, who's 37, finished with a 2.5. And then you have a guy, former Philly, came over in the trade deadline, Carlos Estevez, who's 32 and had a 2.1 WAR last season. I know you did not like that trade. It didn't really work out for you, but he was decent with the Angels before he was traded over to Philadelphia. Could that be an interesting pick, because that you would – be able to put him probably in a low to medium, or in this case, maybe medium to low high leverage, with the fact having Jeff Hoffman as your closer in 2025. Would Estevez be an interesting piece for Toronto?
So, fun fact, I actually wrote about Carlos Estevez today for Sports Illustrated. That article hasn't came out yet, but it should be coming out tomorrow, I would assume. But Estevez's regression to the mean from what he did in the first half with the Los Angeles Angels hit him hard in the second half. You can't tell it just by looking at his ERA, but once you look at like his whip in the first half was in the 0.700s, which is just absolutely freaking insanely good. In the second half, it was 1.1. For his career, it's 1.4. So it's the regression to the mean was hitting him hard, and he did not. It was a contract year, and when he was with the Angels, he was honestly the best player on a team that was scratching and clawing to get as close to a 500 record as they could, because Mike Trout was injured and most of their good players were injured or just not caring because they're not a contending team. And then he went to a team that was a contender for the World Series, and he realized, oh, I'm not the best player on the team anymore. So I don't remember how to do my job, I guess. I don't know. But he just Carlos Estevez is going to be overpaid by whatever team he does land with, strictly because of recency bias and the hype train that the media has put around him from what he did strictly in the first half of the season and strictly based off of his ERA. But I honestly don't think he's more fit for anything other than a middle relief role on any team that is contending for the playoff spot, much less a World Series.
I love that this is going to be an all Toronto Blue Jays conversation here, because we're not going to put them in second place. We're finally putting them in the front and center for the first time in what seems like a very long time, because they finally deserve it. At least the narrative in this case is, you know, talking about them as a whole. And before we get into the next spot, because I think this is the next interesting step here, if you're listening and you haven't already, please make sure you hit the subscribe button, hit that like, that comments, all that stuff. Make sure you talk anything you want. We get some good comments, bad comments. I love it all. I love the criticism, love the feedback, because that's exactly what we're here to do, talk baseball. And you know, for a fact, Troy, we get a lot of that feedback and we love it. We love it. We have a good time reading through those and messaging back to you guys. So thank you so much. But we just hit 300 subscribers. Thank you. We're looking to get to 400. We want to get to 1,000 before opening day. I mean, that's a huge goal, but we're going to get there. This is my biggest question next. And I think I'm not the only one that has this question, but Vladimir Guerrero Jr., obviously trade talks were swirling. And I think they were just rumors. And we've mentioned it on the show. I can't remember if it was you and Lindsay or myself and Lindsay or whoever the case was. It was somebody on the show. We talked about how we believed that the fact that just swirled was to try to get Pete Alonso to sign more to the Mets, kind of getting the idea of maybe moving his number down with the Mets. And that was kind of like the idea of the Mets and Vlad Guerrero Jr. possibly dropping some trade rumors saying they made the call. Now that Anthony Santander has signed to a 5-year deal, could possibly be seen as an overpay, but you got a guy. You finally got a guy. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that Vlad's not going anywhere this year. Safe to say that Toronto's going to look to try and build and move forward and try and continue to re-sign these guys. I think you're in a safe spot to say that. With that being said, there was also a small rumor saying that Pete Alonso could possibly sign with the Toronto Blue Jays. Now, this was before Anthony Santander. This would have been the possibility of moving Vlad Guerrero to third base in the exchange of what right now is currently, according to Fangraphs, Ernie Clement. Is there still a possibility you could see Pete Alonso on this team? And if so, you would see a lineup like Pete Alonso at first. You'd see Andre Jimenez at second, who is an underrated trade, in my opinion, they got this offseason from the Cleveland Guardians. Not a lot of people are talking about that. Bobichet at short, and then Vlad at third base with the DH of Will Wagner that you traded with Houston at the trade deadline last year in the Kikuchi trade. That's a pretty decent core with your infield and your DH. Then you talk about the Anthony Santander in left field, who eventually will probably be your DH of the future if you don't like what you're getting from Will Wagner because of the defensive issues. But does Pete Alonso fit on this team right now? And could you see him signing a deal that would make sense for Toronto to make that next step forward? Or does the money or the deal not even make sense because they just want to make sure they're not second this time?
So to answer the first part of the question, does he fit on the team? I would say yes. There's not many teams that Pete Alonso does fit on, but with his one-trick poniness of hitting home runs, and that's about it, he does fit on the Toronto Blue Jays because they have guys that can hit for average. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr., of all people, can hit .330 in a season. Like, what is that? And so they have guys that can hit for average. They have guys that can get on base at a good clip. And they do have guys that can hit for power. They don't really have any guys that are just power. And so I think that Pete Alonso would be a good addition to their lineup. As far as the money goes, with the lineup that Scott Boras and Pete Alonso are reportedly in search of, I don't think that works for anyone. And I actually, not to bring this up again, but I wrote about that today for the Baltimore Orioles with Pete Alonso, because I saw an article about Pete Alonso, or not a Pete Alonso fan, a Baltimore Orioles fan made a comment about, hey, the Orioles should go after Pete Alonso. And so I went into why the Orioles should not go after Pete Alonso, including the contract as well as how he's a one-trick pony, because if over 10% of his on base percentage belongs to over 10% of his walks are intentional. He has no control over being intentionally walked other than hitting a home run every now and then. But other than that, he has no control over being intentionally walked. He has been hit by a pitch 85 times in his career in 6 years. He has no control over that other than whether or not he gets out of the way. So his on base percentage is like 30 points lower if you take out the hit by pitches and the intentional walks. And also, if you take out the home runs, roughly 75% of his hits, base hits, are singles, not doubles, not triples. Over 75% of his balls that are put in play and he gets on base are singles. So he literally is a one-trick pony in the antithesis of Luis Arraez. So there's not many teams that Pete Alonso does fit on. There's no team that he fits on with the contract he's searching for. But as far as his talent goes, there's not many teams that he does fit on. But the Blue Jays, along with the New York Mets, are one of those teams.
I agree with you. I think that there's two teams right now, and I'm not even going to use the Mets. I think the Toronto Blue Jays are a team that would fit really well at Pete Alonso. And then my other team, I think, is the Seattle Mariners. I think that he would fit well in Seattle as well. But I don't know what they're doing. We'll see what happens on that aspect. They really haven't made much moves at all. I think they're going to be looking at the trade market when it's all said and done, because they seem to be having the idea of maybe moving on from one of their pitchers, Luis Castillo, maybe being the idea there. Pete Alonso, I think, makes a lot of sense with Toronto. And if you look at that case, I mean, where else would you be able to go? I mean, Vlad says he wants to play third base. You give him the opportunity to do so. And then you're talking your first five in the lineup. We've talked about this many of times. When you get into the postseason, you need three good pitchers. You need three good hitters. We've talked about that, right? You got five in this case if they're all on. George Springer, who arguably in the past – now, we're talking age going into 36 season George Springer, so it's a different idea. But historically, in his career, he's one of the best leadoff hitters that we've seen in the game. That's a fair assessment. I don't think I'm stretching anything across the imagination whatsoever, Troy.
I don't know.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. probably is second in the lineup. Then you could either put Pete or Anthony Santander at third, put Bo in between them, and then have the other guy between either Santander or Alonso in fifth. That's a crazy top five of the lineup. Then you fit in guys like Alondro Kirk, Andre Jimenez, Nathan Lucas. I mean, that's some pretty good pieces. I think if you added Pete Alonso to this lineup, one, you'd have to hope for a lot of ground ball pitching from your defense, because you're going to want to, obviously, you're going to have some trouble on defense. There's no doubt about that. Because you're getting Santander, you're getting Pete Alonso, you're not taking the defensive route. That's worked for teams like your Philadelphia Phillies in the past, though. But if you focus on that offensive only, you know, prowess, if you will, to me, if Pete Alonso goes to the Toronto Blue Jays with Anthony Santander, if Vlad Guerrero Jr. is the exact same that he was in the second half of 2024, not only do I think this team is a wild card team, I think this team could compete for the American League East if everything turns out right.
Yeah, I mean that offense alone would be just probably the deepest lineup in the American League East. And honestly, the American League East as a whole, while there are some big name pitchers on two or three of the teams in the American League East, it's the starting rotations are all very top heavy. I mean, you look at the New York Yankees, you've got Gerrit Cole and Max Fried, and then 50 feet of crap before you get to the third pitcher in the rotation. You look at the Baltimore Orioles right now, Zach Eflin's their ace. I'm a big Zach Eflin guy, but he's not an ace. And then the Blue Jays offense isn't going to face their own rotation. But then you look at the Red Sox, and their ace is Walker Buehler. And maybe if it's not Cutter Crawford or Brian Bello. And
It's Crochet.
You're right. I forgot they got Garrett Crochet. And to be honest, I forgot they got Walker Buehler until today. I wanted to bring that up anyway. But and then the Tampa Bay Rays, they're going to have some pitching until the trade deadline when they trade them all away for more prospects, because they're supposed to get paid in the offseason. So it's the rotations aren't really that strong. If the Blue Jays had a lineup like that, and if they added Pete Alonso to that lineup, then yeah, I could see them being players for the division title.
You and I are not on the same page when it comes to pitching rotations in the American League East, and that's okay. That's why this isn't a one-man podcast. This is a podcast where we have different conversations, different opinions, because I think a lot more highly on these rotations across the American League East, but that's okay. That's fine. I do think it's interesting to see what Toronto does. Because they finally got a win, I feel like they have to find a way to keep that momentum going. A signing of Pete Alonso would be a great addition to that. If it's not a guy like Pete Alonso, I think you still have to go out and try and find some depth pieces. If you don't get Pete Alonso, if you bring back Justin Turner, I mean, I know he's old, but that could be a nice little piece. Or maybe a guy like Connor Joe. I like the idea of moving Vlad to third base. Connor Joe had a great year in Pittsburgh, and he's still sitting as a first baseman. He's going to be a value pick when somebody picks him up. It's going to be one of those guys that they talk about, why wasn't he picked up? Why were we focusing on Pete Alonso? Why were we focused on Christian Walker? Why were we focusing on Carlos Santana? And at the end of the day, it's probably going to be Connor Joe that finds his way to the All-Star game. Watch that happen next year. Like that's just one of those pieces that you look at it in the free agency, go, yep, that's the guy we should have got. And that's just how I feel about a guy like Connor Joe. And you're going to get him a lot cheaper. I do too. I'm a really big Connor Joe fan. Really am. But you have the opportunities to pick up maybe some middle infielders, some, you can definitely still improve your team. And of course, as I mentioned, with the bullpen. And we haven't even talked about trades because there's still the opportunity to do that as well. I think Toronto's not in a bad spot now. I was very worried for Toronto this year, heading into the offseason, basically heading into until we got to yesterday, when they signed Anthony Santander, because they weren't doing anything. They were finishing second over and over again, and them finishing second in the offseason leads them to finishing 4-for-5 in the American League East. With this addition to Anthony Santander, I think that changes their ways of thinking a little bit. I think that helps them be able to motivate players like Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero Jr., saying that they're willing to spend money to keep competing in the arguably one of the toughest divisions in baseball, definitely the toughest division in the American League. And that means a lot when you're trying to continue to keep your core. And in this case, your core is Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette. So really interested to see what that happens. With that being said, if Pete Alonso isn't in the move here, if you're the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, if you're Ross Atkins, what are you doing next to make sure that this momentum doesn't go away and you're making sure that you can compete with the Yankees, the Orioles, the Red Sox, and the rest of the American League East to make sure that you are competitive for 2025?
Yeah, if it's not Pete Alonso, then, I mean, you got to go after a reliever. Even though he's 40, I mean, I would probably still go with David Robertson, just adding him to the mix in the bullpen, just to add a little bit of depth in there. Just any ounce of more depth in the bullpen than they currently have would be an improvement of over what they currently have. And as an aside, and when they did get the when we did get the notification that Santander signed with the Blue Jays, I was waiting on the follow-up notification that it was a fake and it was actually Robert from Shark Tank that was signing the contract, not Anthony Santander.
Yeah, it was the wrong plane, right?
Yeah. But no, and also what something we haven't even talked about this signing is they deferred a lot of money in his contract. They might be the first team to kind of follow after the Dodgers' footsteps of every contract they sign, deferring all the money as long as they can until the CPA changes it and they can't anymore.
What's that saying? If you can't beat them, join them. I mean, there's no reason for them not to do it. I know some people don't like the deferrals, and I know that you've gone on record to saying that you're not a big fan of them either. We saw it on yesterday's episode. But with that being said, I mean, if you can't beat them, join them. And until it changes in the CBA, until they make huge changes, even though there's the possibility of a salary cap, I know that's been swirling around with the new potential of a CBA. I saw a social media tweet out the other day. It killed me just thinking of the idea. But it was a hypothetical question that said, would you lose the 2027 season? Would you forego it if it meant that you had an MLB salary cap for the rest of your times? And I don't care if they promised you gold nuggets for the rest of your life. I'm not taking away one season of baseball. No way, no how. Because I agree that it would just be a huge hit to baseball. What COVID did to baseball, just shortening the season and how it's taken so many years to get back. If you missed an entire year, you'd step this sport back 10 years. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, already gaining momentum. Can't let it happen.
Absolutely, 100% agree. And while I don't like the deferrals, I don't think that a cap is the answer either. Especially if it's going to take away a season of baseball with, like you said, the momentum that it's on. But I don't think a cap is the answer. I think they need a floor, and I think they need to close the loophole of every contract you sign can have a deferral, and it's not going to count towards your luxury tax ever. And even when you're paying them 20 years down the road, it's just, here's some extra money, just throw it at them. But that's a we're running out of time here, so I won't get into that too much more.
Well, I want to hear what you have to say, so let me know in the comment description below whether you're a Blue Jays fan or not. If you are a Blue Jays fan, I definitely want to hear from you. Where do you see your team going in 2025? Do you see them competing? Do you see this team as a true competitor in the American League East and the American League as it stands right now? Do you like the idea of still adding Pete Alonso? Do you, if not, where do you want them to continue to add? If you're Ross Atkins, what is your next step? Let us know in the comment description below. Hit like and subscribe while you're there. And until next time, this has been First Pitch.